The Bhagavad Gita is chapter 2, text number 44. Everyone come up closer. It's nice. I know you like the back seats, but you can have a front seat and it's the same price. No difference in price. All right, come on up. Now it seems like there's more people. Even the ladies, if you want to come up closer, you can. There's room over here. Those of you who want to sit in the chair, you're welcome to sit in the chair. This chapter is called Contents of the Gita Summarize. And it's on the 44th verse, so we're getting well into the chapter. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om. Bhogaishvaram Pasaktanam. Bhogaishvaryam Prasaktanam. Taya Prahita Chetasam. Taya Prahita Chetasam. Vyasatyatmika Buddhi. Vyaya Vyavasatyatmika Buddhi. Samadana Vidhiyate. Samado na vadhiyate. Bhogaisvaryam prashaktanam. Taya prahita chetasam. Vyavasa yatmika buddhi. Samado na vadhiyate. This is a very important verse. Srila Prabhupada would quote this occasionally to make a point. Please listen up. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Please repeat, in the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. This purport is quite short. Please listen up. Samadhi means fixed mind. The Vedic dictionary, the Nirukti, says, Samyag adhiyate smin atma tattva yata mayam. When the mind is fixed for understanding the self, it is said to be in samadhi. Samadhi is never possible for persons interested in material sense enjoyment, nor for those who are bewildered by such temporary things. They are more or less condemned by the process of material energy. End of purport. This is coming after Krishna is explaining the difference between the body and the soul. Krishna spends Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pracharine Nivrsesa Sunyavadi Pastyatya Desitarine Sri Krishna. In the beginning of this chapter, from verses 11 actually, till verse about 29, Krishna is trying to convince Arjuna that he is not the body. and explaining very carefully the difference between the body and the soul using various arguments. This is the preliminary principle that one has to understand before one can seriously practice devotional service. One has to know, I'm not this body. I am a soul within the body, and that is my identity. And what is my identity? Jivir Surupoy, Krishnera Nitya Das. I am an eternal, fragmental part of Krishna, and my duty is to serve Krishna. Mm-hmm. Prime duty. So that is my identity. And Krishna, very carefully and very systematically, is explaining to Arjuna that this point, now after Krishna does that for about 18, 19 verses, he launches into another argument explaining, you know, you have to do your duty. You're a warrior. You're a devotee. You're a family man. Your duty is to act on religious principles. And because you are a warrior, a kshatriya, your religious duty is to fight on behalf of religious principles. Therefore, Krishna is trying to encourage Arjuna to fight. In other words, to do his duty in devotional service. And then after he goes into a long discussion on this point, now he turns here to explain a little bit about why persons cannot take to devotional service. And this verse illustrates the main point. Because people are accustomed to see life as satisfaction of the senses. When we think of happiness or we think of activity, it comes down to the senses, the mind, which is the king of all senses, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, and the various sense organs, legs, arms, and so on, all the various sense organs are in contact with objects. So sense objects and senses make action and interaction. This is what we say, life. If there's no sense objects, then there's no reason to have senses. And the body means senses. So senses in contact with sense objects brings results that are, what we say, pleasing to the senses, unpleasing to the senses, or a combination of both, a mixture of both. And this goes on in the world as life. And how much one can enjoy their senses in a successful way, where there's no interruption or there's no, what we say, frustration, that is considered a successful life. And people see certain activities which are the essence of that, such as having wealth, having good family, having prestige, position, power, distinction. So many things that allow one to, you know, find some kind of satisfaction, materially that is. But here this verse, as Krishna is explaining, if one is too attached, he uses the word too attached to sense enjoyment. Everyone is attached to sense enjoyment. One cannot give up sense enjoyment. But one has to see sense enjoyment in relationship to Krishna. In other words, using the senses to serve the Lord is actually sense enjoyment or sense satisfaction. And then there's requirements maybe that are parallel to that, such as maintaining family, having occupation, which are responsibilities that one must carry out. Otherwise, one will not be able to balance one's needs. But one who becomes too attached, now the question might be asked, What does it mean to be too attached? Well, here it's explained that in order to practice devotional service, one has to be determined. One of the qualities, or one of the features, characteristics, we might say, of practicing devotional service is you have to make a determined effort to chant, to associate with sadhus, saintly persons, to read the books, and to do some maybe practical service also. So there must be some program and some determination. But then Prabhupada uses another word, or the verse actually, resolute determination. That means determination that is free from any other feature, that is fixed on the goal. In another verse, actually verse 41 of this chapter, Krishna says, those who are on this path, they're resolute in purpose, and they have one aim. And those who are not, don't have one aim, their intelligence is like a tree, has many branches going in different directions. So Krishna is trying to emphasize that one must be fixed both on the goal and on the practice. Because in order to reach the practice, the goal, one has to be fixed on the practice also. So in order to be fixed on the practice, there are things to do, but there are also things to not do. And this is what Krishna is talking here, that those who are too much doing the negative, they can't do the positive. That's basically the essence of this verse. That those who are too much pulled away by sense activity and sense enjoyment, and then the word is, what is the word here? Aparita chetasam, bewildered in mind. That material energy has a tendency to bewilder someone. What is the bewildering feature of material energy? The bewildering feature of material energy is you have expectations that cannot be met. You have desires that cannot be fulfilled. You have goals that can't be achieved. In other words, material energy presents itself as something other than what it actually is. That's why they call it illusion. Illusion doesn't mean it's not there. Sometimes certain spiritualists say, well, this is all illusion. It doesn't exist, and it only exists in your mind. But actually, the Vaishnava conception, or even Krishna, explains that this material energy, Krishna says, daivyesha, gudamayi, that this energy, this material energy is my energy. It does exist. Not only that, it's daivi, it's divine. So this material energy is Krishna's energy, but it isn't what it presents itself to be. And what is that? It's not the source of satisfaction, happiness, and enjoyment. But the illusion is that people say, it is. So therefore I can find happiness, satisfaction, peace of mind through fulfilling my material desires. So what does that mean? That means one's becoming bewildered. One is becoming illusioned. One is taking something for what it is not. Just like if you look into the mirror, whatever is in front of the mirror is simply a reflection in the mirror. But if you take the mirror to be the reality, then that's a pretty good form of illusion, isn't it? If you see some bananas in the mirror, and you think, "Oh, I'll eat those bananas," but they're just reflections of the real. They're not there. The real is on the other side. So this material energy is a reflection of the reality of the spiritual world, and it does not have the same, what we say, substance, and cannot give the same fulfillment. In fact, it gives the opposite. And it causes one to, Krishna says in the fifth chapter, Yehi samsparsaja boga dukkha yone yevate avanta vanta kunti anateshu ramate buddha. Krishna says that sense enjoyment, that activity that is meant for it, leads to suffering. It's the cause of suffering. So that's the illusion. The illusion is you look for, you want happiness, but you get something different. Or it presents itself like that. So that's material life. Now this verse is saying that those who are constantly absorbed, bewildered by this illusion, and although they don't find satisfaction, they continue to try, they can't take the devotional service. They don't have the determination because their minds and senses are being, what we say, pulled in another direction. And therefore, even if they come in contact with a spiritual process, they can't stay because they're so much still attracted and illusion by the illusionary energy. So here, Krishna is explaining, we have to give up this bewilderment and see the difference between what is eternal and what is temporary. Krishna explains that in the 16th verse of this second chapter. He says, those who are seers of the truth, they know that the non-existent is temporary and the existence is permanent. Thus seers have concluded by studying the nature of both. So the great souls, the Lord, the great souls, have given us the understanding that there is a difference between the spiritual and material energy. One is eternal, one is temporary. One gives knowledge, the other one gives a form of knowledge which is an illusion, wrong knowledge or bewilderment. And the last point is one, the spiritual gives eternal happiness and peace and bliss, whereas the other just presents itself but cannot give. That's the difference. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. So one has to clearly understand, as Krishna is explaining in this section, what it means to practice devotional service is to know that there is no happiness in this world materially. When one becomes convinced of that, then one can practice devotional service with determination. Now, Krishna doesn't say before you can practice devotional service with determination, you have to be free from all material desires. He doesn't say that. He says you have to be free from the illusion that fulfilling these material desires will give you happiness. Conditioned soul means material desires, material attachments. But while those who are too conditioned and accept the illusion as the reality, and the reality is simply another form of illusion, then one cannot practice spiritual life because they're too much drawn away by the mind and senses for fulfillment. We see nowadays, this is Kali Yuga. And a certain feature of Kali Yuga is that it becomes more and more two things, material in its covering of the population of the world. More and more materialism is spreading everywhere. And people are becoming more and more, what we say, bewildered by that. Kali Yuga is becoming more and more sinful also. So I remember, using some practical, that nowadays, now maybe not so much in India yet, because still in your country, there is still culture, there's still dharma, there's still tradition, there's still spirituality. But in Western countries, as the countries become more and more materialistic, the people have a harder and harder time practicing spiritual life. It's a fact. My generation wasn't exposed to so much materialism. You know, I grew up in the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s. But the difference between the 60s and the 70s was great, and the difference between the 70s and the 80s was even greater, and the difference between the 80s and the 90s was even greater, and the 90s are just, the 2000s are just an extension of the 90s, right? It's just becoming more and more materialistic. So nowadays, especially in Western countries, young men and women have a difficult time practicing spiritual life. Very difficult. Why? Because they have been so much subjected in their early ages to so many forms of sense gratification. Television, this type of media, and that type of activity, and this type of entertainment, and even sinful life as a young boy or girl growing up, which we never had so much, because the environment wasn't like that. It was more tradition, culture. Now in your country, also now this same, what we say, material energy or material contamination is coming in here. And the younger generation will also find it more and more difficult to practice spiritual life, because as soon as materialism becomes more and more prominent, it becomes hard to control the mind and senses. And without controlling the mind and focusing the mind and senses on the Lord in devotional service, one can't practice devotional service. So we see how this increase of what we say a broader spectrum of sense enjoyment is actually making it more and more difficult for the upcoming population to practice spiritual life. It's a fact. And you see how years ago, we can even take it back hundreds of years, how readily people would take the spiritual life. It was almost natural. It was easy. Nowadays it's very difficult, even if one wants to, because of the environment. So there's this great struggle to somehow or other overcome this, what we say, melu, or all-pervading material attraction of energy that comes in the form, almost in the terms of form of necessities. Now it's necessary to have a car, it's necessary to have a computer, it's necessary to have, you know, a lot of material things. It's necessary to have this insurance, that insurance, this, right? You just see. All these necessities that have come up in our life all of a sudden have become necessities, which were never necessities before. So are they necessities or aren't they necessities? Society has dictated they are necessities, and the upcoming population accepts them. And the environment is arranged in such a way that in order to live, you have to have fulfill all these necessities, right? So there's a hard struggle to maintain one's life in the material world and at the same time seriously practice spiritual life. It's difficult. So therefore, one has to see. So this verse is saying that if one is too much attached to sense gratification is compared to salt. And salt, you put it on your food to make your food give it the flavor, brings out the flavor, right? Now, if you put too much salt on it, you can't eat it, right? It becomes unpalatable sometimes, depending on what it is. But most of the time, too much salt just makes things sometimes, too much salt, can't eat it, right? But if there's no salt, and somehow or other, it doesn't have much flavor. Mm-hmm. So sense gratification is like salt. You have to balance it. Not too much, not too little. Too little becomes hard to function because there's certain requirements we need. But too much, it's a pretty salty society, we might say. Yes, things are over-salted. They've opened up the salt shaker and just poured it on. Put it on everything, on the pizza, put it in the sweet rice too. Put salt on everything, right? It's a salty life. But we have to make sure we don't become, you know, saturated with salt. Not too much. So there has to be a nice balance. And if you can balance that nicely, and how to balance that may be different from person to person. But the point is, one has to understand that there is no real satisfaction and happiness by satisfying one's senses in the material way. That's the understanding. I may have to do it out of necessity to maintain my body and my family and my responsibilities, but it's simply a necessity. My happiness, my knowledge, my progress, everything that I'm looking for in terms of satisfaction and peace can be found on the spiritual platform. Why? Because I'm not this body. I'm a spiritual person. So the body is maintained and the soul is nourished. Not that the body is nourished and the soul is neglected. And that's what today's society is. Everything is all, it's all bodily concept of life, right? But here, too much. I mean, this was spoken 5,000 plus years ago. So how much sense gratification was then? It wasn't all this, you know, life was quite simple. But still, Krishna is saying, even then, you can get into too much. So too much sense enjoyment causes one to become bewildered, and one becomes bewildered, one cannot become determined on spiritual practice like that. So, whether you're a grihastha, living with family and doing responsibilities with job, or whether you're a brahmachari or a lady practicing spiritual life, living within the temple, still you have to regulate your sense enjoyment. Because without regulation, at the basic minimum, because Krishna says, too much attached to sense enjoyment and material opulences. And material opulences. Just like one time, I'll tell you a story. I went to visit one of my friends in one city in America. And I went into his house. His father was sitting in front of the TV watching a sporting event. So I walked in with him, and then we walked into the next room, and his brother was sitting in the next room watching a sporting event on the TV. Different room, different TV, same sporting event. They weren't talking. So two rooms, two TVs, two people, right? And so it's now everyone has to have a car. Everyone has to have, you know, a computer. Everyone has to have a cell phone. Everyone has so many things, right? What's next, right? Pretty soon you're going to have your own helicopter, right? Because you can't drive in Bombay anymore. You have to fly over Bombay. It's just too much traffic, right? So it becomes an addiction that the more material things you have, the more you want. And the more you get, the more you become bewildered. And the more you become bewildered, the more you lose sight of the goal of life. And not lose sight, you actually, it becomes, it disappears. So here, Krishna is saying that we have to pretty much regulate our necessities to the basic minimum, and then to use our time and valuable energy. We have so much energy, we have so much time in this body, it shouldn't be wasted for the goal of life, which is to realize God. Self-realization is the goal of life. That is the goal of life. Because self-realization means fulfillment of all desires, all needs, everything can be filled. When we realize our relationship with the Lord in devotional service, then all our desires become fulfilled. Because only the Lord and no one else can give complete satisfaction and fulfillment. So Krishna is saying that regulate, don't become too attached to sense enjoyment or material happiness, and just engage in my devotional service. And then Krishna will go on explaining more about the process of bhakti and devotional service. So these are very important principles to understand. And unless, even though we may be convinced of the goal of life, if we're not convinced of the bewildering effect of the material energy, we will not be able to practice successfully the goal of life. Because too much diversion and too much attention in the wrong direction makes it difficult and impossible, really, to focus on Krishna. You can't think of Krishna if your minds are not fixed and are too much thinking about how to fulfill material desires. You can't think of Krishna. It's not possible. In fact, Krishna becomes a competitor. Rather than seeing Krishna as your best friend, you take Krishna as your competitor, because he interferes with your fulfillment of your material desires. So be careful. Okay. So these are some simple points on this verse. Is there any questions? Comments? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you were saying about bewildering situations and just few days back in the sannyas ceremony, you were speaking about when we get too much of others' influences, others' problems, others' bewilderment, then sometimes we also, get diverted.
Become diverted, yeah.
So how to balance?
This is something I said, right? Was something I mentioned in my talk? Was it?
Yeah, about the sannyas ceremony, you said how when you become sannyasi, you come across so many devotees who come to you with your problems. And
well, if someone comes to you with a problem, it's their problem, not yours. You can help them, but don't take on their problem. That's what I was saying. And sometimes people think, well, I have to put myself in the place of the person who has the problem, and then I can understand the problem better. And then you also become affected by the problem. you can help persons by try to understand the nature of their problem from your perspective. And then you can give relevant directions and instructions. But if they're crying, don't sit there and cry with them. Because nothing gets done then. So, it happens like that. Sometimes in trying to assist others in overcoming their difficulties, we get too much absorbed in their mentality, and then we can't see things clearly. That was my point. And that can happen too, because when you're trying to help, sometimes people become very emotional, and emotions, they affect you. You shouldn't let them things affect you. Just like one girl came to Prabhupada, and she was a young girl, and she had a terminal disease, and she was about to die, and her mother came with her, and Prabhupada didn't say, "Oh, I'm so sorry." He said, "You're not this body. Death happens to everyone, so just use the remainder of your time to become Krishna conscious, and then you can transcend your body." So from a point of view of knowledge, you can help a person. Okay. That was my point. Any other questions?
Maharaj, while talking there about determination, Krishna also talks determination in further chapter in three different modes. Determination in mode of goodness, passion and ignorance.
Determination, yeah.
So, like,
in the 17th chapter. Yeah.
So we also take some determination, but for a period of time, the determination to follow certain, you know, regulations which we self-impose on ourselves for better advancement in spiritual life, you know, kind, the determination to follow them degrades, goes down. The motivation or the confidence goes down, something. So how do we analyze or how do we understand and keep that particular that determination balanced?
Well, Prabhupada says one cannot become determined if they're, and it's mentioned here, if they're too much attracted or affected by sense enjoyment, especially sex life. He particularly mentions that. That destroys determination fast. But then again, in discussing how to practice Krishna consciousness, he gives three things. Rupa Goswami explains, you need enthusiasm, utsahan, determination, nishchaya, and then he gives the third one, patience, daryat. Utsaham nishchayam daryat. That you need not only enthusiasm, which will bring you to what we say, the path, and keep you on the path, determination to remain on the path despite difficulties and reverses, but you also have to become patient. Because without patience, you can't remain enthusiastic. And therefore, you can't remain determined. So, Krishna consciousness is a gradual process of purifying the heart. But you can't reach the goal immediately. You can't go to the top at the beginning. It's a gradual process of purification. So it takes patience. Prabhupada used the example. A woman, she gets married and she has a nice husband and she says, well, where's the child? The husband is there, but the child's not there. So there's to take some time before the baby will appear. So everything is in place, but still there's some patience required. So you're on the path, you're enthusiastic, and you're determined, but your determination has to be coupled with patience. And patience comes by way of associating with devotees. So by associating with devotees, you can develop patience. By learning the principles of bhakti, you also develop patience. But if you want immediate results, if you want pure love of God the first day, just like one devotee, he joined the movement. It was back in 1966 when Prabhupada came to America. After 1 year, he said, Prabhupada, I've been practicing Krishna consciousness for a year. I don't have love of God yet. Prabhupada said, oh, 1 year. How long have you been in the material world? How many lifetimes? Who knows how many lifetimes we've been in the material world? So, patience is required. If you want something cheap, that is the material energy. You can go out and get something really quick. But spiritual life is the rare gem. It's a priceless gem. And what is that gem? It's Krishna. Krishna is not going to give himself so easily. The process is easy. Prabhupada says the process is easy or simple, but it takes time. And that's one of the things we have problems with. Because we want something quick. It just doesn't work. So determination has to be supported with patience. It's important. Women have more patience than men. Because women have to deal with men, and that requires patience. Yes? Correct? It says, one of the in the 18th chapter, that the feminine qualities are patience. So men have less patience than women, generally. So you can learn from the ladies. But we have to have patience. Patience, patience, patience. Any other questions? Yes. Microphone behind you.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. I wanted to know the difference between determination and a goal of life. I mean, and as a grihastha,
you want to know the
differentiation between the determination and goal of life. I mean, in Krishna consciousness.
You mean the connection?
Yes.
Yeah, and yeah, it's explained that you need determination to reach the goal. The goal is prema pumartha mahan, which means to love God or to develop one's love of God. A love of God is in the heart. It's there. It's sitting within the heart. It's not coming from the outside. But the heart and the mind is covered with so many other things. So that determination in practice is the removing of the coverings. But the coverings come off gradually. It's just like in the early morning hours before the sunrise. Say you're sitting on a rock in a very mountainous area, and it's dark. And then the sun is starting to come up. So the first sign of the sun coming up, you see the environment is changing. There's some shadows, right? And then maybe after that, you hear some birds. Still, you don't see the sun. The shadows are there, the birds are there. And then you see a light in the sky. But still, there's no sun. So as we practice our Krishna consciousness in a determined way, we get little signs. This is happening, this is happening, this is happening. I'm becoming free from this attachment. I'm becoming more attached to chanting. I'm becoming more attached to associating with devotees. Then these signs are indications we're making progress. And then all of a sudden, there's the sun. So it's like that. So in order for that process to go through, to happen, you require determination. Because as I was explaining, we can easily get diverted to things that are not necessary or not required. And then when we do that, that what we say puts some slow down in our determination. Because if you can't be determined for Krishna and Maya, you have to be determined for Krishna and gradually detach yourself from Maya through the process of Krishna consciousness. So without determination, there is no progress. Because it's not like, okay, I'll just do it. You're going to get some resistance, naturally. Anyone who doesn't want resistance, you're not practicing Krishna consciousness, because you will get resistance. You'll get resistance from the external environment. You'll get resistance from your own mind. You'll get resistance from various aspects. So to remain fixed despite the resistance means to be determined. That's what determination is. I'm willing to do whatever is necessary to achieve the goal. That's determination. It's like a woman, she has to have a child. Okay, that may be difficult. She has to change her diet. She has to change her activities. Then she has to go through the difficulty of bringing the child out. She's willing to do all these things in order to bear a nice child. So all these things are necessary. But these things can be a botheration. So in remaining determined, we may experience some resistance, some difficulties. But these things should not deter us or make us less enthusiastic. In fact, a true devotee will see obstacles as opportunities rather than obstacles, because they help us take shelter of Krishna. And they help us become, what we say, free from our material attachments. So determination is 100% essential. Otherwise, the goal will never be reached. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, what time did the deities open? 8:50. I was told to stop at 8:30. It's 8:30 now. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.